Hello.
Awesome.
Are you there?
I am.
William, young William. Hey, there you are. It is great to see you and to hear you. I just wish our listeners could see you, but at least they can hear you, right?
You can't see me?
I can see you, but our listeners can't see you.
Oh, okay.
I think this is going out over the air. So, let's see. You are William Morse, and you are the son of Richard and Lunice, the founders of RAM, and you were also the lead guitarist for the group.
Yes.
Right? Just so our listeners know, William, you play a featured role in RAM's current incarnation. You've recently joined as lead guitarist. When did you join?
I joined as rhythm guitarist. We had a keyboard, the lead guitarist, and I had joined as rhythm guitarist and the bass player at the time. Yeah, so there were four melodic instruments on stage and two guitars. So I joined as the rhythm guitarist.
I see. And now you are the lead guitarist.
Now I'm the lead guitarist.
Uh-huh. Is there a rhythm guitarist?
There is no longer a rhythm guitarist. It's been molded into one role.
So you're doing the heavy lifting.
As it turns out.
Did you, first of all, where did you grow up? In both Haiti and the U.S.?
Yeah, but like most, so I did, I was born here in Haiti, born and raised. And the way I like to explain it, I did 7th, 8th, and 9th grade in the U.S. And then at boarding school in Connecticut at a school called Indian Mountain School. It's amazing, amazing experience, life-changing. Then I went back to Haiti for 10th grade, and then I went to the U.S. again for college. And then as soon as I graduated, came back to Haiti. So I guess a total of 7 years for academic studies in the U.S., but other than that, born and raised in Haiti.
Mm-hmm. And in your young life, you're, what are you, like about 30 now?
29, yeah.
29,
later this year.
Yeah. You already have a lot of life experience that you bring to the band, to whatever it is you contribute to the band, which is an enormous, I mean, your contribution to my ears, my listener ears, you really are a major driving force of the band.
Nice.
And did you study music formally?
No. Because I felt like if I studied music, and this is no offense to anyone doing this as a job, but I felt like if I studied music, then I would end up, you know, like recording Muzak for Elevated Music. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is no insult to anyone, but that really it kind of turned me away from studying music.
Mm.
But I always grew up with it. You know what I mean?
Well, yes, you grew up absorbing. Well, that's the interesting thing, and that's kind of why I wanted to have this conversation with you, because you have absorbed your experiences from growing up in both Haiti and the U.S., but being so deep in the culture and in the music that your parents have played and performed most of your life, if not your whole life, right?
My whole life.
Yeah. So the fact that you're so proficient on the guitar and are self-taught is really, really impressive. It's really something. And we are going to be listening. I'm going to be playing some tracks that feature your guitar work in this hour. So I wanted to know if you actually had studied guitar or music at all. Formally. I mean, yes, you studied. Go ahead.
I had a guitar teacher when I went to school in the States. When I went to study in the States for the first time, I had this guitar teacher, incidentally, his name is Ram Miles, weird, but he really planted the seed that blossomed. I used to watch him playing guitar. He was a bass player, but he could play guitar. He was an amazing instrumentalist, and kind of his passion for what he did, he was able to instill that into me, and he taught me the basics, and then once I left school, I had to pick it up on my own from there, but he played a huge role in my guitar playing.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So, well, so the theme is, of course, this show today is Haitian Heritage, celebrating Haitian Heritage Month. And also I wanted to feature some of the young musicians. There are so many really, really brilliant young musicians coming out of Haiti and the Haitian diaspora right now. And it's a very, to me, it's a very exciting time to hear what all of these different musicians coming from wherever are bringing to the roots of the music and carrying the roots forward. Everybody has something, a little bit of a different angle to bring to it because of their own personal experience.
Yes.
What do you listen to when you're not playing music, when you're not playing with the band?
Someone pointed this out to me that a lot of people, I guess Ram is on, a little on the aggressive side of music, you know, musically. And someone told me that she finds people who play aggressive music tend to listen to like laid back, calm music. Yeah, so I vary. There's this thing I listen to, just kind of jazzy, like hip hop beats, instrumentals, just like when I'm doing work. So it's kind of like background music. I do some old school hip hop, like 90s stuff. Tribe Called Quest. I don't even know if they're 90s. I don't even know what year. Tribe Called Quest. A little Radiohead, too. And some mainstream artists. I keep it to a minimum. It turns out that way. Yeah, and anything that kind of piques my interest, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I find myself to be particularly selective. Like where I can talk to people and they say like, oh, I tried out this kind of music and I'm open to this kind of music. I wouldn't describe myself that way. Although there are songs that I like in many different genres, but I wouldn't describe myself necessarily as open-minded. I think I have something that I'm looking for, or consciously or not, you know? And it's either that or it's not for me.
That's very interesting. Yeah, you know what you like. You go for a certain groove, I guess, and you stick to it. Well, what you bring to Ram is, you know, carrying it into the future. To my ears, that's what I hear. When I hear what you're playing in the music, on one hand, it's timeless. It's really timeless. It's really hard rock. Hard rock, you know?
Yeah.
And it's definitely taking the roots, musique racine, to a whole new level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there are other guitarists who are doing a similar thing, but I think that the voice that you bring to it through your guitar playing is very unique.
Thank you.
Even in that genre. Let's play something and then come back. Can you just hang out and we'll play something. The first thing I wanted to play is Wuke. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
A Wuke. And this is from 2018. So, yeah, I'm going to play this right now and then we'll come back. Hold on.
Awesome.
was exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now is that that's you on the guitar, on the lead?
That's when we had two guitarists.
Okay. And who was the other guitarist?
Yonel Vanuidzi. I think that was his last recording, actually.
Is he still on this plane? Is
it something? No, I'm sorry. This is not his last. More severe. No, he's still, I'm sorry. He's still with us. Yes. But that was his last recording as lead guitarist on Ram so far.
Okay. Well, I love that track. I really love that track. And I think that's from 2018. So when did you begin? Were you lead on the most recent, on Ram 7 album?
No, I was lead on Carnival 2020, Congo Lazilo.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
I see. Mm-hmm. Well, I have that somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, let me just remind our listeners, you're tuned to WGXC, ACRA, Catskill, Hudson, 90.7 FM and WGXC.org. This is Music for the Masses. I'm Neva Wartell, and I'm here with you every Sunday from 1 to 3, coming to you live from Shelter in Place in Catskill. And we are talking with William Morse, who is the lead guitarist for Ram, the Haitian Musique Racine group.
Vodou
rock and rhythm and blues. And William is on the line with us in Haiti.
And punk.
Yes, a little bit of everything. And
in there too.
Everything, right. Well, I would say that Ram is the preeminent Musique Racine group in Haiti at this time. And the group's been together since, 1993?
The first show was December 31st, 1990.
1990, okay.
2 weeks after my birth.
Oh, wow. I guess they held off. They had to wait, right? That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask, what is the process with the group? Does everybody make a contribution in terms of the arrangements when you're putting a piece together? The material comes from traditional rhythms, right? You're using traditional Vodou rhythms. And then how does a piece evolve into what it ultimately becomes?
It'll be different for everything, mm-hmm. obviously. Mm-hmm. For each project that you're working on, even within the project, you might take different approaches at certain points. But I guess at its core, the idea is to make people dance, and to enjoy what you're doing. But I guess what we end up doing is, so we take these old rhythms, which are fantastic, phenomenal. They just like immediately touch whatever they're touching, and we find these. So there are songs that exist in prayer systems, in different ceremonial practices. So we find people that know these songs, and then we just kind of pick the ones that are either they might be socially relevant at the time, so the lyrics, make sense, or it's just a really nice melody, and hey, this is a nice song to sing along to. Let's play this, and then you got your drums, and then you go from there.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. these are based on folkloric rhythms.
Yeah, they are. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They are. So these are like if you go to a folklore ceremony, you can go to like a real ceremony, like an official ceremony, and you might hear some of these. You'll definitely hear the rhythms, and if you're familiar with Ram songs, you might find yourself singing along at some of these ceremonies. It's really weird, because I have no business. Yeah, I have no business knowing these songs, and then I've been at ceremonies, and then like suddenly I'm singing along. Mm-hmm. What? I haven't been initiated. I've been probably 3 or 4 ceremonies my whole life, but here I am behaving as if I grew up like in a voodoo temple or whatever you might call it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. Like someone who's never opened the Bible and never read the Bible, but goes to church for the first time one day and suddenly finds himself speaking along with a pastor and like, oh wait, how do I know these words? So it's I guess it's kind of like that. But to go back to how the songs are constructed. So you got your rhythms and you got your songs, and then try to make it as groovy as possible, and everyone has, my dad has his experiences through his life, when he decided to become a musician. And I'd say he's probably the main driving artistic force. Not that my mom doesn't have her the lead singer doesn't have her contributions or she doesn't do anything, but I think his experience probably comes across the most in the music.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then we just kind of, everyone adds their little thing, and then it evolves and it morphs. And even as you're recording, and it goes through different phases from your initial rough idea to the finished product that goes on the album, every step along the way, you know, it grows and it blossoms and it develops. So even from the beginning, you don't know what it's going to sound like at the end, but yeah.
It builds from there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really builds.
Now, I know that social consciousness and social commentary are a big part of the group, of what Ram does. Sometimes the group has been on the wrong side of politics. Well, the right side of politics, I would say, but on the wrong side of politicians. Right now, with the coronavirus pandemic, Ram has been performing from Haiti, from the Olufsen Hotel, which is where the band is based. And you've been doing Facebook Live broadcasts, which are really great to see, really great to see. And it's interesting to see that you're all, you know, everybody's wearing masks. It makes an interesting visual.
Yeah. And, the reality of the times.
Yeah, exactly. And you did a PSA, a little video piece about pay attention and follow the health suggestions for staying healthy and keeping others healthy. I want to play that. It's short. It's like less than a minute and a half. I just want to play that, and then maybe you can talk about how that happened, because it was just, I think it was just released in April, right?
Yeah. Right at the start.
Right. All right, I'm going to play this now, and we'll talk about it.
Okay.
So that was Haïtien levé. That means yeah. Haitians get up.
Haitians get up, or Haitians wake up.
Right. And it ends with Haitians open your eyes. And it's a music video for our listeners. You can look that up, Haïtien levé, showing the band members keeping social distance from each other, washing their hands, using sanitizer, disinfecting doorknobs, steering wheels, cell phones, etc. And the message is, let's follow the tips to stop coronavirus. These are short music videos depicting the proper use of masks and social distancing in day-to-day situations, also such as public transportation. How have they been received? They're on YouTube, right?
They're on YouTube, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How they've been great. Everyone in the Haitian community loves them.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've kind of lost the words right now.
Oh,
I think we're in a place right now, I guess, as a society, as not only as like a Haitian society, probably American and probably global, mm-hmm. where we reached a place where things are pretty strange. And it's not because of Corona, but rather Corona is helping to show a lot.
Mm-hmm.
without getting into too many details. So this video, this message is there's one layer about you know, we got to wake up because there's this new threat on the horizon. It's actually not on the horizon anymore. It's actually upon us. And so we got to pay attention and be more mindful because it's a new situation, so we have to behave differently. So we got to be mindful. Mm-hmm. On a deeper context, the thing is that at some point, I don't know when, we, I guess, crossed the line or opened the door in society where maybe it was inevitable, maybe not. But you have to be very mindful of the information that you're receiving. Mm-hmm. Think twice about everything. Make sure it makes sense in you. And obviously, think for yourself, because there's a lot of misinformation, disinformation mixed in with the good information. So now more than ever, it's really important that we are proactive in taking care of ourselves and also taking care of our communities. And I find that these are layered concepts and they speak volumes not only to the coronavirus, but in a deeper sense where we are as a global society.
Very profound, young man. Very profound. Yes, deep thoughts and very much appreciated.
Yeah,
it is a different time. It's
very different time.
And there's a lot of strangeness, I think, that people aren't quite sure how to behave with each other. It's almost like wearing the mask somehow makes people feel invisible. And it's a strange thing when that happens. So, yeah, we have to be really careful that our way of relating to each other doesn't change just because we have to be mindful of our own health and other people's health. I think people don't know exactly what to make of anything anymore. So,
yeah, right. Yeah. It's difficult. It's very difficult now.
Yeah. But I think your point is very well taken, that there's a lot of information out there and a lot of valuable information and a lot of confusing information, a lot of misinformation. And it's hard to know what to take in as valid and what to reject. You know, how do you even gauge that?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's all new. And as you said, I think more than anything, the situation that we're in is revealing a lot of all the cracks in how the foundation of the system that we're functioning in. And I'm sure that's what Rams music is about. That's what a lot of Haitian music is about, especially a lot of the current music that's coming from not just Haiti, but Haitians in the diaspora, you know, bringing to it their understanding of how the world works or doesn't work, what's going on, you know, and that's being expressed in the music and with all the different influences that are now coming to bear in the music. So, you know, it's like any African-based music, when new elements are brought in, it just carries it forward into the future. And that's great because that's what keeps the music growing and evolving for all time, you know. And it's a beautiful thing. I'm going to try to find the Carnival 2020 piece. I know that I have that. But in the meantime, while I'm looking for that, I've got something from the most recent album, Ram 7, August 1791, that was released in 2018. Can you tell our listeners what happened in August 1791 that is the title of the album?
So the title of the album, because the way my dad likes to put it, in August 1791, some workers got together and had a strike, and, you know, they said, we're not working here anymore. But in a greater context, in a more realist sense, August 1791 marks the birth of the I guess, the beginning of the Haitian Revolution, which led to the first successful slave revolution in the world. The 22nd of August, 1791, was the first ceremony that the slaves on the island of at the time it was the island of Saint-Domingue, which is today Haiti and Dominican Republic, which at the time was the most successful and most profitable colony in the Western Hemisphere, richer than the 13 colonies combined. It built the Palace of Versailles, I believe, but you know, we don't need to get into that. So in August, the 22nd of August, 1791 was the first ceremony where they had like this almost spiritual, I guess an equivalent would be like the first Continental Congress of the U.S. during the colonial times, when they said, hey, guys, the 13 colonies need to get together. We're going to break away from Britain. So in a sense, in a spiritual sense, this is what we had in Haiti. There was a ceremony that took place where some slaves decided that they were going to rise up and destroy the system, the slavery system on the island. And then a week later, the actual revolution began. And so all this began in August 1791, which arguably could be said to be the birth of Haiti, of the Haitian identity.
Mm-hmm.
So the at the time there were the slaves born on the island who had been brought whose parents or grandparents had been brought from Africa, who were born here on the island and were slaves. It was also the slaves who had been born in Africa, but during their lifetime had been brought over to the island as slaves. So these people had a inherent difference, different, they just had different experiences. But at the end of the day, they were slaves. And so there needed to be a pact, a contract between these two peoples, where they decided we need to come together, because if we don't, then we're going to die, and our children are going to die, and our traditions are going to die.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of naming the album August 1791 is that at this moment, when we decided that we were going to be a people, that this is, we chose it, this is our identity. And so the music, the traditions, the ideologies, the stories that came out from that decision is supposed to be reflected in the album. So all the songs, all the melodies, all the rhythms and stuff like that. So that's the idea behind the title.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's a history lesson in music, as is the carnival song from this year's carnival. It is called Congo Lazilo.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean?
Congo is a rhythm, but it's also a people.
Mm-hmm.
Who obviously, from my assumptions, I don't have the direct histories, but probably come from the Congo region of Africa, mm-hmm. modern day Congo region of Africa. Maybe it was a little different at the time, 300 years ago, maybe slightly different geographically, but probably those peoples. My understanding is the song is praying to the Congo spirits or the Congo people or the Congo ancestors. Congo Lazilo. So in the first song, Ganguma Ke Tuye Mwe. In the first song, it talks about it's praying to the Congo people, and it's saying, it's a guy stuck on a boat. He's saying, he's giving a prayer. He's saying, I've been stuck on this boat for a year and a half. I haven't eaten. I haven't drank. Whatever that means. I haven't eaten in a year and a half. I haven't drank in a year and a half. You know, someone's praying out in a boat because they're lost in the sea. So that's what the first song is about, and that's the title of the song. People can, we talked about depth and layers. People can analyze the layers of that parable for the centuries to come, and they can figure out whatever that means.
So you recorded the song for Carnival. Carnival did not happen this year.
It did not.
Because of political unrest. So the whole thing is very ironic. But, I know that there was a lot more political commentary in the carnival songs in general this year than ever. It seems like every year it's more so. But But the music...
Especially the last, 3 years? Mm-hmm. It's been ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot to complain about. There's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to shout about.
Yes. But there is also, as we said before, you got to be careful with, there's also people jumping on the bandwagon.
Right.
But it's obviously we're all talking about something that's going on.
Mm-hmm. Right. So This is Congo Lazilo. This was Ram's carnival song this year. We're going to hear it now. Thank you. yeah. That is just so excellent. And that was Ram's Carnival song for 2020. You're tuned to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM and WGXC.org. I'm Neva Wartell. This is Music for the Masses. Our time is coming close to an end. And I've been on the line, Facebook phone call, with William Morse, who is the lead guitarist for Ram Haiti and the son of the band's founders, Lunice and Richard Morse. And I did want to, it's, the music is so intense, you know, it always, it's so very involving. It's very involving, yeah. You know, you can't not move to the music, and I know that's the point. And I think that you're, you know, I wanted to talk to you today because to me, you really represent the new generation of Haitian music. You know, you've got both feet firmly planted in the music and the culture, but having grown up in both Haiti and the U.S., you have a very unique perspective. And I think that that can be said for a lot of musicians of your generation. You know, there's so much more interrelationship these days between cultures, and there's because communication is so much easier and making music and recording technology, all of that stuff is so much easier now for people to work together, to meet and to exchange ideas and to try new things. And there's so much cross-culturalization that's going on. It's really very exciting. It's really exciting. But also, you know, you're very deeply steeped in Haitian roots. And that's, you know, you are carrying this music and the culture forward to the next generation after you, you know, that you're carrying this on your shoulders now. And
make sure the bar is high for them. Don't make it too easy.
Exactly. Exactly. Generation. Well, yeah, because you have a whole new contribution to make, you know, with your influences and your insights and all of that. So should we go? Let's see. We've got 5 minutes. So should we go out with one more song?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, let's go out with how about Kulu Kulu from Ram 6. From 2016. How's that one?
Let's do it.
Okay. William, it's been wonderful hanging out with you for this hour. Thank you so much for joining Music for the Masses today. And we're going to go out with this, and we'll see you soon. And just for our listeners, it's Ram Haiti, R-A-M, on Facebook and on YouTube. And if you want to see William play his guitar, take a look at the videos. And you'll get the picture. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Stay safe. Stay healthy.
You too.
All right. Bless.